Disclaimer: the views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to ANCAST. From Los Angeles, I'm Justin Savakis.
And I'm Zach Birchie.
And we have with us a really, really exciting show this week. We have the team, a big chunk of the team behind the Kickstarter campaign and short film currently in production, Kick Heart, over at Production IG. We have Maki Tenishima Furuta, she's Vice President of Production IG USA. And we also have Justin Leach, who's the producer, one of the producers of Kick Heart. We also have the project's color coordinator and animator, Eun-Young Choi, and one of the background artists, Emeric Kevin, all joining us simultaneously. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us.
No problem.
Welcome.
Why don't we start with, I don't know, either Justin or Maki should probably take this one. Could you just tell us a little bit about the project for people who haven't heard about it?
Justin, you should probably explain.
Okay, yeah, sure. So basically, we're launching a crowdfunded anime project, and basically it's a 10-minute animated short that's directed by Masaki Iwasa, who was a director of Mind Game and several other great titles. And we're kind of trying this new thing that we've never really done before, and we're trying to see if it's going to work. So we're basically, the campaign is 30 days, and our goal is 150,000. And we're hoping that we can reach our goal, so we can help show that crowdfunding is a sort of a viable alternative to help these sort of more artistically driven animation coming from Japan.
And so this is a 10-minute short, correct?
Yes.
And what was this conceived of as, what idea came first, really, the short or the Kickstarter campaign, I should ask?
It started last April. Actually, Ichikawa-san and Maki-san were in New York for the New York Children's Film Festival. And, I had been sort of a follower of Kickstarter, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could try doing like a crowdfunded anime? So when they came to New York, we met for brunch, and I sort of pitched the idea to Ichikawa-san. He thought it was a really interesting idea. And it just so happened at the time that he was developing a project with Iwasa-san, and, he thought that this would be a good opportunity. He felt that this would be he would be a great person to kind of start doing something like this. So that's kind of how it started. And this is back in April. And then we've been kind of trying to figure out, how we want to do the campaign and, exactly what the story is and things like that. So, and then we launched the campaign on, I think it was like October 1st, or the last day of September. And so that's kind of where it all started, I guess.
So as of this recording, it's been a little bit over a week. You guys are well past the 50% mark as far as your fundraising is going. Are you guys how are you as far as where you thought you'd be at this point?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about where we are. I mean, like the first day was really, I think everyone was like really amazed at the response. I mean, like, I think within one day we reached 25% of our goal. And I mean, like, my phone, you get an email every time you get a backer, and it was just like my phone was like nonstop, like, email notifications. And I literally didn't sleep all night because the thing was like going off. So it was really exciting. And I think at the beginning people were kind of unsure about like whether or not people would be interested in doing something like this. So, I mean, still, we haven't reached our goal, and, there's still a possibility that we might not make it. But, I think that we're definitely really excited by the potential. And, if the first day is a sign of the future, then I think, feeling pretty good.
Cool. Now, $150,000, depending on who you ask, either doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot or seems like a heck of a lot for a 10-minute short. Mm-hmm. How much of the overall production budget is being sourced through Kickstarter?
Maki, do you want to answer this one or do you want me to answer it?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, it's going to be used to cover as much as the, you know, basically whatever we make is going to go into the production. I mean, typically, you know, the quality level at IG, you know, is not, you know, I would say, like, it's not cheap to produce a good high level or high quality level of animation. So that's part of the reason why the cost may seem a little bit higher for some people. Typically, you know, we have some money set aside. A certain percentage of the budget is set aside for rewards and things like that, like the Blu-ray and the DVDs and things like that. And then basically everything else, you know, once we cover the cost of the rewards, everything is going to go into the production. And, you know, we hope that if we go beyond that amount of money that we can extend the animation, make it longer, increase the quality. You know, we'd basically like to make it as long as we can, but, you know, we're limited to a budget. So we're just, you know, we'll see how well it goes. But that's kind of our intention.
So I imagine production isn't just sitting on their hands waiting to see how the Kickstarter goes. The work has already started, correct?
Yes, yes. Oh. Basically, the pre-production has finished and it's gone into production.
So people are actually animating right now.
Yes, yes.
Cool. I guess that brings it to Eunyoung. I mean, how has this kind of different way of producing a show affected the way you work, if at all? I mean, is this... I imagine working with Yuasa, it's not a normal show to begin with.
No, but it's great fun. He has a great imagination, and then he also giving us like a huge freedom, so we can strengthen our ability or, you know, ability strength. So it's completely different as other director. Other directors is is good too, but he is really unique. And what can I say? It's a great fun and great honor to work with him.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how working with him is different? Like, what sorts of things can you do on a project like this that you couldn't do normally?
Oh, right. What can I say? I don't know. So, Yuasa-san always creates something. It's not exist before, okay? So, it's not what I did before, what I have done before. So, I have to adjust what he wants to do for next. It's a great challenge for creators, I think, for animators and all artists, I think. I think that is the one of the biggest thing working with the Yuasa-san. And he makes something and he wants to do something next different. And he's always looking for something new. I totally respect his point of view working, you know, his method or, you know, philosophy.
I see. for our listeners who might not know exactly what a color coordinator does, could you tell us?
Color coordinator is I'm basically putting color on character. So Emery making the background first, and then we have all the characters, and it depends on scenes. For example, there is an indoor scene, like a room, and outside, and then we have all different colors background, and we have to adjust the character depend on background, and I do that too. And yes, that is color coordinating what I'm doing here.
I see. Emeric, how many people are actually working as in the backgrounds for this film?
For this film, I'm handling all the backgrounds by myself.
Oh, wow. So it's all you?
Yes, for now, for this project. And if the Kickstarter campaign works out, and if we have to do an extra 10 minutes, or hopefully if Ishikawa-san wants to turn this into a long feature film, then we'll have no choice than to hire a ton of people.
Are you feeling a lot of pressure?
At first, yes. But... Now I really found the right rhythm. And so I'm handling the pipeline very nicely. And yeah, it's a great honor to make all the backgrounds of Masaaki Uwasa-san's project. Yes.
So, yeah, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We all feel like similar as Emmerich. It's so great fun to work with and honored. And I really appreciate especially all the fans and supporting us. And we were so amazed and very, I don't know, it's very, feel like so happy to see the old people supporting us. It was kind of a great experience, you know, this project. Yeah.
It seems like because it's a short film, it's actually a very small team compared to most projects. Is that true?
Yes. Main staff is only four of us. We have only three animators on this project and then one background artist, Emmerich. And then Uwasa-san is doing the, Uwasa Masaaki doing the animation too. And so it's all of us doing not only one job, just doing, you know, some few things too. So it's, yeah, a lot of work to do, but it's very fun.
Wow. Cool. So now, Maki, when you do, when Production IG normally does a short subject or say something short for a commercial, is this a normal size crew?
I guess like this one's very different. It's more of a private than compared to like more the commercial stuff that we work on. It's very I would think it's a very small scale production. I mean, it probably consists of like smaller number of people than normal. What do you think, Justin?
This is a very small crew, I think. I mean, it's amazing that they've been able to do so much work, you know. I mean, yeah, I think it's kind of unusual.
So could you walk us down the timeline? Like, say Kickstarter goes well, you make your numbers, but you don't go beyond them to reach any of your stretch goals, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. How will the rest of this process go?
Well, yeah, depending. So let's say if we reach our goal and we don't go too much past that, then we'll probably just complete. I think we're scheduled to complete the animation at the end of November or December timeframe. And then the next plan would be to submit it to film festivals and things like that. And then we'll also be distributing the films to the backers and things like that. So we also have to figure out the production of all the DVDs and Blu-rays and things like that. But yeah, so basically it's probably, you know, we're hoping to finish end of November-ish. And then from there, we're going to just see exactly, you know, what festivals are coming up. And then we have to check for things like the submission guidelines and all that sort of stuff. And how does this potentially, you know, how does the digital distribution impact things like that? Because sometimes festivals have strict rules and things like that. So that's kind of our goal right now.
I see. I imagine if this goes well, this is kind of a test that, you know, you'll maybe do things like this in the future.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think this, that's my personal hope, is that, you know, this can hopefully set a new precedent where, you know, we can sort of do more things like this.
This is like so new to us. I mean, like when Justin brought us this idea, we're like, I don't know if it's really going to happen, but like he made it happen. And we were just like impressed by how quickly the fund is raising. And, you know, it's like we're getting so much exposures and like people are constantly talking about it. So it's really an exciting project. And then I'm sure like, you know, once this takes off, more and more anime will probably follow the same models. And, you know, we hope Kickstarter is a great thing. And, you know, the fans out there are so wonderful. They really want to help us take the project off the ground. And we're so thankful. And, you know, we really want to try to give as much rewards back to the fans as possible. But like, we're still like in this like exploration stage where we don't know if the budget will allow us to give so much rewards out. You know, we're trying to return the favors back to the contributors as much as possible. But again, like, you know, it's so new that nothing is really concrete.
I see. Now, in the last couple of days, you guys have announced what are called stretch goals, which is if you go way, way above and beyond your funding goals. And that is at 400 grand, you will produce a companion short for Kickheart. And if you manage to raise $1 million, you'll make it a feature.
Yes. It's a little ambitious.
My first question is, how does this story work that it can be that flexible lengthwise?
Yeah, well, I think, like, in terms of the stretch goals, I think, like, you know, as Maki was saying, you know, we're learning a lot as we go. And, you know, this is the first time we've done anything like this before. So, you know, we're sort of taking a lot of feedback from people as the campaign is going on. And we're actually actively talking about potentially making adjustments to those, you know, stretch goals and things like that. So I feel like it's, you know, when you're in the middle of a campaign, you know, time is kind of the essence, and you try your best to make a decision that, you know, you consult with the people, like, you know, Ishikawa-san and the people that are involved in that sort of decision making. And you try to make your best guess based on, you know, all the elements and all the things that are happening. So, you know, I think it's, for us, you know, it's really a learning process. And I think that, you know, we would definitely like, you know, we like to review some things and see if we can, you know, we're actively sort of trying to figure out how to adjust our campaign, because we feel like there's some things that you know, we would like to sort of adjust. So, you know, we're kind of in the process of bringing that out right now. But, yeah.
My other question was, $1 million seems, just knowing what some of the budgets of most anime features are, that seems very, very, very low for a feature.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, I think, you know, the on the low end, that's definitely like on the lowest end of a feature film budget. You know, typically they might go from 10 million or up to 20 million. But I think that the idea is that, you know, hopefully, you know, this, the Kickstarter can kind of subsidize, you know, help subsidize a production. So, like, if there's a lot of fans out there that are so interested in this idea that they're willing to invest that much money, then maybe it will be easier for the studios to say, you know, to the sponsors in Japan, like, hey, we've got this huge fan base. They're asking for this animation. It's completely different than anything we've done before. You know, let's go for it. And because I think, like, right now, there's a lot of hesitation to in the industry in Japan right now to trying something different, something new. And that's something that I personally miss and that I want to see more of.
Yeah, that's actually a big point. Maki, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what have been some of the difficult parts of raising funds to do kind of auteur work these days?
What's really hard is, like, deciding on the rewards. I mean, we're still struggling to come up with the best rewards possible. We want to try to, you know, get more fans to contribute, but, like, we want to give back as much as they contribute. But, like, you know, the budget, we do have a certain budget, and then that's restricting us from giving away too much. So, but I think that we should actually give back as much as they give to us. It should be, like, very even. And just like Justin said, we're getting a lot of exposures on the net, and people are constantly talking about it. So maybe, you know, through the word of mouth, if the studios or the big producers or whoever hear about it, hear about this project, and decide that they're interested in maybe making this into a film or a bigger film, bigger budgeted film or whatever, then, you know, I guess it's a great turnout. But everything is still very new, very preliminary, and we would really like the fans to give us different feedbacks, because we're still learning from all of this too, like what kind of rewards is appropriate, what kind of stuff they're looking for. We want to give as much information on the project, on the production, as much as possible. I will be going to Japan next week, and they're actually doing the voice, the recording, and I'm hoping that maybe we should be able to show some of that footage, or, you know, photos or production asset or whatever, you know, to be able to raise more awareness and interest into the project.
Now, you've been with Production IGO really long time.
I
remember, you know, seeing Maki when I was like brand new to this business.
Exactly. I've been with Production IG, but not the Production IG headquarters, but with the IG USA for 16 years now. And I've known Justin, you know, as much as I've been with IG. 16 years, right, Justin? We've met when I first started working for IG.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What were you doing back then, Justin?
Well, back in 2001, I sort of met Ishikawa-san through just various, it was actually through the Japan Society of New York, and that's where I met Maki for the first time, Ishikawa-san, and I just kind of kept in touch with them. You know, I've always been a huge fan of Japanese animation, and I applied for a job, and, you know, Ishikawa-san was like, well, we've got this one opening for a foreigner at our company. Would you like to come? I was like, yeah, sure.
We can only take one.
So that was like my dream, you know, opportunity. And so I just went for it. I just basically had to, throw away everything, all my possessions. I just sort of threw out and I just brought a backpack and went to Japan. But yes, I worked at IG. I was working on Ghost in the Shell 2 under Oshii-san, and I was there for about 3 years, and I got to meet, all of my anime heroes, I guess, growing up. So it was a great experience, and I still, you know, as evidence, I guess, of this project, I still keep in touch with IG and try to keep a close, you know, just try to keep a close connection with Japan.
What were you doing for just so people can look you up on the credits on Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I was what they call a CG creator, and basically, in America, the CG industry is very specialized and usually do like one very specific thing. But in Japan, much like in Kickheart, you know, one person has to do many different things. So basically, I was given shots, and it was my job to basically put the CG elements inside of the shots. So there's just several shots in the film that I worked on.
I see.
He worked on the fish, the arowana fish, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I remember that.
Yeah. And, I did.
And along with many others, but that's one of the scenes that he worked on.
And I also worked on Ghost in the Shell 2.0, which was sort of like the Ghost in the Shell special edition.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Right.
I worked on that one, too.
Cool. Well, just to wrap up what we were talking about with Kickheart, what has obviously we've seen all the reaction from the English side of the English speaking side of the fandom. What has been the reaction on Japan side?
You know, Maki, do you want to, or would maybe Hunyoung, could you answer that question?
The Japan side, meaning Justin, is it the fan Japan side or the production, the staff side?
The staff side, it sounds like everyone's pretty gung-ho, but on the fan, I would love to hear what Japanese fans are, how they're reacting to a project like this, and also other people in the industry.
Justin, would you know that more? Because you know the traffic more.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been... one of the things I've been learning a lot about on this project is all the social, sort of social media websites like Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and things like that. But we have noticed that, you know, there's definitely been a surge in Japanese followers right now. And as far as I can tell, at least the things that I've seen, people have seen, they seem pretty upbeat about the project. And you know, they're kind of, some people have kind of, are kind of, you know, didn't know much about crowdfunding, and it's kind of becoming like an interesting topic. In the news, actually, there was the recipient of the, I think it was like one of the, was it the Nobel or what, which prize, the Pulitzer Prize? No, I don't remember which, I'm sorry, which, but there was some prize that was won, and I guess they raised like $200,000 through crowdfunding. So I think it's something that people are starting to notice and talk about. Maybe Eunyoung and could talk a little bit about maybe what your, from your perspective, mm-hmm. what are people in, how are people in Japan reacting to KickArt?
I think the first day when we released the KickArt and the project of Kickstarter, and then not many Japanese knew about the Kickstarter. So I think the first day we didn't really get the feedback from the Japanese because the page is all written by in English and there's no explanations in Japanese. But there thankfully there is some website or some news network. They just translate and they put a link with the Kickstarter. And I think after a few days, we got some backers from Japanese, from Japan. And the thing is, I think this is very new. And then I think people kind of don't know what is this. So they are looking this very carefully. It's not only about the only fan, but I think it's a industry and the people like, market. I think people looking at this project very carefully, I think.
Yeah, that's what I would assume so anyway. So let's see. The project is called KickHeart, and you can go to Kickstarter. We'll have a link on the Anime News Network on the Ancast page so you can go check it out.
Sorry to interrupt. Before you move on to the next thing, I did have one question on this. I'm curious, Maki or Justin, either of you guys could take this. Do you think that this is the future of auteur anime? So you have a notable director who's known for having, his giant thumbprint on things, and this is a short subject, so it's even harder to call it commercial anime. It's not a commercial project. And do you think that the way the marketplace is right now, if this works, do you see this as being the future crowdfunding for this kind of artist-driven, director-driven, not necessarily commercial product? Do you think this is the future? Do you think the market has changed so much that now this is the way it's going to go?
I personally don't think so. I mean, I don't really think that Kickstarter is a place to make profit. It's more for the exposure. It's more for, I think it's a great way to let the people know more about IG rather than rather than the company just making this an animation on their own. I think the fans are probably the best way to spread the words around so that other people will know about it. So it's just a great way to market. I don't necessarily think that this is this would be the future for for a lot of the anime properties just because the economy is bad. But I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if I agree with you, Maki.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Fight.
Yeah. Peter, I hope it will be like that way. Connected creators and fan drive directly, so we can have a freedom, and the fan they can have what they want. I think that this is a really good try. I'm really surprised what we have feedback, and I see there's some possibility and hope in this project.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might not be, I think it will just open some new opportunities for people that otherwise would have trouble, making these types of films. And, I think for me, one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this project is because those are the films that I love and want to see. So, I'm just desperately trying to find a way that, we can help make those movies. Because that's kind of what inspired me to get into animation in the first place.
Right. Yeah, and that was more my question, was that this particular kind of project, if crowdsourcing is the future, not for all anime, of course, you guys are working on plenty of TV shows, but just this kind of thing where it's real artist-driven, short subject, kind of a thing we just don't get. We just don't get this stuff anymore. Like, it's really cool to see this potentially happening. I'm excited to see it.
Cool. Yeah, I hope that's like, I mean, I think one of the things about this, there's sort of two things in this project, I think. One is just the fact that, you know, Yuasa-san is such a wonderfully talented director and people really want to see his work. They want other people to know about his work. And then the other side of this project is like sort of like that hope of, you know, if we can make this work and if we can prove that this is a possibility, then we can continue to, you know, help these sorts of projects and make more of them.
Great. And so just to wrap this up, when is the deadline people have to get their pledges in?
We've got 20 days to go. So I believe that is, yeah, end of this month.
All right. So you have until Halloween, basically.
Yeah, October 31st, I believe, is the last day.
All right.
So
never before has Halloween been so scary.
All right. Well, you know, making changes to the rewards and trying to, you know, give more to the contributors. So, you know, any feedback that you may have will be great. You know, it always helps us to expand our knowledge and learn new things. So,
we love the feedback. Yeah. We want this to be sort of not one directional, but we want it to go, you know, both ways.
Well, that is Kickheart, and so that's the big project everyone's talking about. But while I had everyone, I wanted to talk a little bit more about IG and what it's like to work there, because it's such a storied studio that's been around and been a part of so many well-respected projects. Since Maki's been there so long, I guess I'll start with you. Are there any particular moments or memories that stand out for you in your 16 years working there?
Oh my gosh, it's been too long.
I'm sorry, that's a loaded question.
Yes, well, it was like the first couple of years was really, really hard because I didn't know what I was doing and I was the only one. And anime back then, like in 1997, is when we, you know, when we established the U.S. office. Not many people were aware of anime just in general. There were fans out there, but, you know, the studios weren't too interested in anime. So it was very, very difficult at first. And then like maybe like around 2000, 2001 was when people started thinking that anime was really cool. And then the studios started showing interest in working with us, and it was getting easier to license properties and whatnot. And now it's been there, you know, it's been great. You know, anime is a hot topic, and I think it's starting to slowly infiltrate the mainstream, and but still it's considered a very minor culture, and I can't wait for the day when the mainstream people will recognize IG and all that. But you know, we're still out there. Economy is really bad, but we're still making anime, and we strive to make the best quality anime. And you know, we most of the anime industry in general is pretty conservative, but I think Production IG is one of the more open studios. Ishikawa is very open. He loves working with the foreign people, and he's open to hiring foreign creators as long as they're good. They don't have to be Japanese. You know, you'll learn your Japanese when you go to Japan. You know, we have Justin work with us before, and we have Yun and Emmerich. So I think it's a great opportunity if you want to try working for IG. We don't really pay a lot of money, but, you know.
Well, who doesn't this business?
Yeah.
But it's so, yeah, it's like you're poor, but you're really inspired. Yeah.
Sounds like all of anime fandom.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I think my happiest time was when I was at IG.
Wow. Aww.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, what else is he going to say with you guys on the line?
But you were probably the poorest too, huh?
Yes, I had to count change for food a few times. Yes.
I get a lot of emails from the fans asking, like, you know, if they could work for IG. And my question is, I mean, my answer is like, well, I don't know if you have money to live and work in, you know, Japan. Because if you want to, you know, if you want to make money by working at an anime studio, it doesn't really work that way. You know, I mean, unfortunately, anime studio can't pay the animators so much. I mean, they should get paid a lot more than what they're actually getting paid. But, like, you know, that's just how the situation is. And but you will have a great experience, and you will learn so much, and you will get to do what you really want to do. So I really encourage the foreigners to come to Japan and work for IG or anime studios. But it's going to be very difficult.
How many foreigners do you? I mean, obviously, Kevin and Unyoung, or I'm sorry, American Unyoung are not Japanese.
You're laughing.
I think that's a difficult question because I've been working in IG since now two months, I believe.
Oh, that's
and,
it?
Yeah, I'm just starting my career 2 years ago, so I just arrived in Japan like 3 months ago. But have to know that IG used to be a clinic, a hospital, so it's not an open space. There's a lot of locked room, and so it's hard to see who's working here. And every day I sort of see new faces. So maybe I think there's like three foreigners, maybe.
I don't know, but the production for creators or animators, I think. Like four, three, very little at the moment, but maybe three or five, I don't know. But there is some people in the production manager, you know, and then yeah. But the thing is actually, is compared with other Japanese studio, is pretty open. I feel that way, and then there is many people like who actually speak English. It's very helpful to work with some other, you know. Country, I think it's. I worked at some other studio too, but the production is pretty much open. I really appreciate.
Unyoung, how long have you been in the anime business?
About 7-8 years. In Japan, yeah.
Right. What are some of the projects that you've been on that we might know about?
Basically. Masaki Yuasa-san project, previous works. I work in Madhouse, and then first job in Madhouse, and I was working Kemonosume, the TV series
right.
directed by the Masaki Yuasa.
Mm.
And then, yeah, next one is Kaiba and, you know, Tatami Galaxy. And then I worked in French studio in Tokyo. Too, and then that is how I met Americ, and then after that we came to production IG. I came to production IG with Yuasa-san, and then we worked on some little project, and then we finally hear this project from the Justin, and then we started a Kickart.
How common is that to move around like that from studio to studio for an animator?
It's very common. Normally, like animators, they are working as a freelance. We don't really have employee animators. That is really rare in animation in the industry in Japan. But I think animators sometimes prefer it that way because they can choose whatever they want to work instead of saying yes, I do in company. So they prefer working just. You know, project what they want to work. And I like that way too, because it's pretty much free, feel free as an animator. But it's pretty hard, but I don't know, feel very free. I can choose what I want to do next. That is pretty good.
When you go to those different studios, do you feel a strong influence as far as style of animation? For example, a lot of fans like to think, oh, this looks like a, you know, production IG show, or this looks like Shaft show, or this looks like, you know, JC staff show. Do you feel that, or is that more, do you think it's more up to the creative staff?
I think that is up to the director of the project, and also, you know, animation director, and but obviously they have a style, you know, on depends on studio, Madhouse, and you know, and I don't know, Production IG and Ghibli, and they have all different styles, and then you know they bring the director. And then they ask some kind of style, and they are collaborating with the director and with the studio. I think that is a good thing too for a director. They can, you know, adjust depend on studio, so they can change, you know, styles and, you know, new ideas. That's a good thing, I think.
I think the styles, you know, are like studios have certain styles, like styles to a certain degree. But if you look at like, you know, like Ghost in the Shell that was made at IG, and like A Letter to Momo that was also made at IG, but you know, Letter to Momo doesn't really look like it was made in IG. So just like she, you know, she said, I think it really depends on the director.
I see. Maki, I don't know. I know that a lot of fans have any idea that Production IG even had a U.S. office. Can you describe a little bit about what U.S. office does? Do they license, or what fills your week?
They. U.S. office was established back in like 16 years ago as sort of like to close the gap between Japan and the U.S. And what I did for the first couple of years was licensing the IG titles or IG's affiliate titles to the network and distributors and whatnot. And then we started doing co-productions with, you know, Cartoon Network and stuff like that. And then we worked on Kill Bill. So we started working a lot with the studios. And then right now, there's so many things that I'm working on and I would love to explain, but I can't because a lot of the stuff that I'm working on right now are pretty much in development. So I try to, you know, raise money and what else do I do? And try to co-produce with the Japanese side, and whatever that has to do with overseas comes to IG USA. Everything that has to do with English comes to me. So I am the only one at IG USA, so there's so much that I can do. And people have asked me if I needed help, and I do need help occasionally, but like what's pretty much done at IG USA is basically that all the work that has to do with overseas. So it's not just about licensing. We do a lot of co-productions too, and we do like Kickstarter too. So there's really not like anything, you know, concrete that we really do. We do all sorts of stuff that has to do with overseas.
So you're just kind of jack of all trades. You're the one that has to approve the dubs. You're the one that has to, you know, coordinate for when staff go to conventions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I do that too. In terms of like English dubs, I do have the approval, but like most of the animation stuff, like I always send it to Japan and like get it approved by the Japan side.
I see. All right. So that pretty much takes care of my questions. Zach, did you have anything?
No. As a matter of fact, this is perfect timing. We're just about ready for your questions from your fans on Twitter, I think.
All right. So it's Twitter time, and your first question is from G. Tebbets. And, you know, whoever wants to take these, feel free to do so. I would imagine Maki and Justin, you guys are mostly going to be taking these. Maki probably more so, because a lot of them are just general questions about Production IG. Geoff Tebbets asks, I noticed IG got both Noitamine shows. The block, the animation block. Does the studio's approach to an anime change with a time slot like that? So if you're producing a show for that specific time block, does your attitude towards what you're going to produce for that time block change?
I would think so, but I don't know if I'm in a position to answer that. That would be more of a Ishikawa question. So, I would think so, but
okay.
I don't know if I can answer that question, Zach.
It's okay. It's okay. These aren't my questions. okay, from Alex Levitt, he asks, why wasn't the Kickstarter oriented towards Japanese fans? He says, I know it's not popular there, but why not try to get them to pitch in?
I guess I'll take that one. I think, at least in terms of the reason for doing Kickstarter, or doing it on Kickstarter, was mainly just because that was sort of like the biggest one out there, and we felt like that would be the one to, you know, gather the most attention. And so I think that was kind of our thought, was like, let's try to get the world interested and see if we can, you know, also appeal to Japan as well. I mean, we have been also reaching out to Japanese news organizations, and also sort of reaching out into the social networking as well to reach out to the Japanese fans.
Okay, and that actually leads into the next question. He also asks, have other Japanese animation companies been talking about crowdfunding as a valid alternative in the future? Is there a debate about this? Are any other companies talking about it?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know if Maki, if you have anything you want to say, or Eunyoung, or Americ.
Honestly, personally, I don't know yet. But as a fan, I really hope that a lot of big creators that we don't talk about anymore, I feel that they'll try to propose something and shorts in the future. I really hope that this project will be, I don't know, not a symbol, but will be the start of a new original pieces.
Mm. Okay. I heard some people saying who are from the other studio, like producers, they are asking me a lot of things, like, you know, how's going, how much do you make, how many people you got. They are very, very curious about what we have at the moment, what we are getting. And then I think that they are thinking after how we got in the end. That is the thing. They are looking very carefully, but I think, I don't know, I don't think they haven't decided, anyone decided to do something Kickstarter yet, but they are looking this project very carefully. So if it works well, maybe some people trying, you know, Kickstarter as we did.
We talked about this a little bit, but again, from Alex Leavitt, he asks, what did you think backers wanted the most in return from a Kickstarter campaign, besides just having the animation actually produced? And do you feel like the rewards right now are reflecting what you think people would actually want for a donation?
That's a sensitive question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't really understand the question correctly. Is it the? Can you explain again, please?
Sure. No problem. Basically, he's asking. Obviously, it sounds like a trouble spot has been like, okay, what do we actually make the rewards? Like when you back the Kickstarter, what do you get? At what level? You know, that kind of thing. And his question is basically like, how did you come up with that? And I, you know, it's changing constantly as you guys have talked about, but how did you come to those decisions? And do you feel that presently the Kickstarter rewards that backers get are basically what, reflect what you think people would actually want in return for backing the project?
Maybe I'll say something to that, I guess. I think, like I said, you know, we're learning as we go along. I personally, there are some things I would like to change, and there are things that we're working on right now to make it more appealing to fans. So I think, like, at first we were thinking, like, you know, what are some kind of really unique gifts that people, you know, could get that is kind of unusual. So there are a couple things that we did. One is, like, you know, we one of the prizes has, you know, some of the original drawings, you know, some Genga pictures from KickArt. So we thought that was interesting. But the thing about those sort of higher-end prizes, they're a little bit out of reach, I think, for most people. So what we're trying to figure out now is, you know, how can we make things that fans want that is a little bit more in their price range? And so that's kind of something that we're working on. One thing that we also did, which is kind of that I also want to mention, is that the film itself is DRM. The digital download has no, it's DRM free. And the Blu-ray that we're making is region free. So one of the reasons why we're doing this is because a lot of people have expressed, you know, there's a lot of people that download anime illegally, but they want to have a legal alternative and sort of get a similar result. So that was one of the motivations why we did that. So I think a lot of fans have been asking for that. So, but still, regardless, I think, you know, personally, I would like to, you know, I don't think the rewards are exactly, I think they're good, but I think we can do better.
Yeah, I want to add to that too, is I think one of the reasons that we really want a lot of exposure here is that we want to try to get as much feedback from the fans as possible, because we really want to find out what they want as rewards. We want to make it as fair as possible. We want them to be to feel worthwhile for money. And Justin and I constantly talk about what would be the most appropriate reward. And then, like, there's a really funny story, because he had some ideas about maybe taking like an onsen trip to with the Yuasa-san. Like, I don't think that's the fans would like it. I don't even know if Yuasa-san would like it. So we decided not to do it.
I'd be more fearful for Yuasa on that
one. I know. But like, I can't imagine a more awkward bath.
I know. And what if the fan was a girl or something? We just have to be really careful. We really want to find out from the fans, like, what they really want. Some of the stuff that they request may not be possible financially, but like, we like to get ideas, you know. We want to learn from it. So
we really do want the fans to be happy. So like Mikey said, we really appreciate the feedback.
Also known as the eternal struggle.
Yes.
Clippia asks, and Justin, why don't you take this one? He says, do you think Kickstarter would work with a TV series, or is it only good? Do you think right now it would only work with something like a short or potentially a feature?
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely think it could work for TV or features. And I think, like, you know, I think ideally you would like to raise funds that would, you know, be able to cover the entire production cost, and that, you know, is really sort of, you know, designed for the artist and the director trying to make that project. But I think even if it didn't reach, even if it was a portion of that overall budget, I still think it would help get those projects off the ground.
Okay. Someone can take this one. Dika asks, Kaiden1364 asks, what digital animation techniques does IG currently experiment with? And, I guess that's sort of the question. Like, in terms of digital animation, the way things are going right now, what's the chief means of production at IG? It's kind of a hard one.
I think the animator should answer that question,
I think IG is trying to develop their 3D skills by doing the 009 movie that's going to be released soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're tending to make it look like an old 2D animation, and not to make it look like an American pure 3D imagery. Mm. And I think, like in Japan and mainly all the studios, this is what they're trying to do, is to make the 3D look like an old 2D, because it's what like Japanese people like. But not American, I think.
I think the Japanese audience in general, they still prefer like 2D animation as opposed to 3D CGI. I know like in the US, like nobody watches 2D anymore, but like people in Japan still enjoy 2D, and then they feel a little awkward when the animation is all 3D CGI. So IG, I don't think they try to like make it all digital, because if you look at like Letter to Momo, that was still a 2D animation. So it all depends on you know, who directs it, and then the type of animation that's suitable for that title. And as long as it's a good animation, good story, high quality, IG will do either and both.
Okay. All right. Toonami News asks, is there a way to have another season of IGPX? And do you... Yeah, people want to know. I got a few questions about that. People want to know if there can ever be more.
I love that fan so much. I know. I personally love that property, IGPX. Unfortunately, it didn't do very well, but, it's a great series, and we all had a great fun working with Cartoon Network on it, and we do get fan emails about wanting to see the sequel to IGPX, and at the moment, I don't think there is anything, but when we had enough funding or Cartoon Network decides that they want to do it, I'm sure there will be an opportunity. But we don't have any plans at the moment.
Similar to that question, we got a whole lot of questions about a potential third season of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
So yeah, we get more emails about that IGPX. But yes, everybody wants to see it, and we're very fortunate that so many people love Ghost in a Shell Standalone Complex. And we're hoping, we haven't announced anything yet, and I can't say anything until it's announced. But I'm sure there was a possibility.
Possibility. Okay. You get a lot of people's hopes up with that one. okay. Are you guys excited about, got this question from a few people, but are you guys excited about the potential for an Oscar candidacy or an Oscar promotion for Letters to Momo? Because I know that's going to happen.
I really, really hope it'll happen. Movie took 7 years to produce, and it's a great film. It's story wise, animation wise, it's a wonderful, wonderful film, and I do hope that it does qualify. We all hope so.
I really want to see that.
Justin.
It hasn't been out in the U.S. yet.
Not even a screening.
Kids has it, and I'm hoping. I think they're gonna try to release it in 2013, next year.
Cool.
Okay, and actual final, this is our last question here from Twitter. Azabaro asks, he says, I've heard that there were some reluctance in the anime industry to use crowdfunding because it made it harder to get a work distributed. Do you think that Kickheart will only be able to work around this by being in an art festival work, or do you see distribution channels in Japan and elsewhere gradually opening up to crowdfunded work?
I'll answer that one. I think that if we can, I think there's a lot of digital distribution channels that we can use to hopefully prove that. And then, if it does well in festivals, if it sort of, earns rewards, I think that just helps generate buzz to help get distributed in more mainstream channels.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, sure. I mean, that okay. Wraps it up for Twitter. Justin, you want to close us out here?
All right. Well, I guess we're just going to wrap up the whole show then. With us, again, we have Maki Terashima, Justin Leach, Eun-Young Choi, and Americ Kevin, all from Production IG, and all working their butts off on this Kickheart project. And I hope everyone will check out their Kickstarter page and take a look. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And, that wraps it up.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to everyone from Production IG for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.